Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to the KP Podcast. This is Pete coming to you from the KP Studios here at the Forum in Chandler. And I'm riding solo this week without Keith. Keith is out there, as we mentioned before. Some of you might know he's getting married this week. So congratulations to him and his lovely bride, Anna. But we have got a very special guest this week joining us, Mr. Chuck Fazio. Chuck, how are you?
Wow, man, this is awesome. I got to tell you, you know, there's few people in my career that I've actually drawn close to in the business world and personal than you and Keith. And you guys are people who say, who walk the walk, man. Yeah. Good for you guys.
Oh, we appreciate that. Yeah, and for those that don't know, so I mean, we've known Chuck for I don't know, 6 years now or so. It's been, yeah. And you know, there's been a lot of help, and a lot of folks out there have asked who's helped you guys along the way, who's helped mentor you. Well, you're gonna get to hear from him today. Mr. Chuck Fazio has been an integral part in everything we've been doing over these last several years. So for those of you that don't know, I'm going to give a short introduction here as to what Chuck's done, because he's got an incredible story that I think is pertinent to a lot of people out there. So for those that don't know, and I'll let Chuck get into the details here, but Chuck and his wife Angela, so Chuck and Angela ran one of the largest single office brokerages in America, Revelation Real Estate here in Arizona. You built this up, Chuck, to what, a 900-person brokerage at the end there doing?
Yeah, I think right at the end it was 906 agents. You can't forget
give
those
take,
six.
Give or take, huh? Yeah. So over 900 agents, guys, as a single office doing over $2 billion a year in volume. Just an incredible, one of the largest, most successful brokerages in the country. Most of, you know, what a lot of people are trying to get to, what a lot of people are looking to do. But Chuck then pivoted and made a move from there to eXp Realty, and that's what we're going to touch on today. So let's get into Chuck's story a little bit, because, you know, one of the things that connected you and I, Chuck, I mean, tell the listeners a little bit about where you started from. We're originally both from back east, from New York, you know, so... Yeah. First time I met Chuck, we can, you know, I could tell right
you
away.
Had that connection.
I could tell right away. We got another New Yorker here. We got another New Yorker. But yeah, you didn't start out in real estate early in life.
No.
I mean, tell the listeners briefly, you know, how you started, how you got here, and then what led to Revelation.
Yeah, you know, I grew up working at nightclubs, then running nightclubs in New York. And, you know, it's a completely different lifestyle. And I got to a point where I needed a change in my life. And a lot of my family already moved out to Arizona. And I never thought I'd leave New York, but I did. I guess God had a plan. So moved out to Arizona in the end of 98 without even having a job. And I said, what can I do to make a lot of money? Well, sell real estate. So I never even owned real estate. You know, in New York, man, it was so expensive and the taxes. Yeah. So, I went for my real estate license. Had no idea what I was getting into. And so I got my license the January of 99.
Yeah. Holy shit, I'm old. And once you got your license, clients were just lining up for you.
Oh, lining up. They couldn't wait to work with me. Yeah, that's when the reality set in.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about just looking at nice homes, and you quickly realize that prospecting and getting a lot of rejection takes its toll on you after a while.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, so I was a failure. I was a failure. I joined a KW, and for the first year and a half, kind of sold nothing. Mm. And
Yeah. So came out with no job in the first year and a half, sold nothing. So this is some lean times early on.
Yeah, my dad used to say, "Go get a real job."
Yeah, and there's a lot of new folks in the business that experience that, right? It's because I know for us as team leaders, we hear that probably more often than anything else. Wow, this is a lot harder than I thought.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think people expect what real estate really is. And, you know, hindsight looking back, and what I tell all new agents, real estate is prospecting, it's marketing.
Yeah.
You know, the sales part, anybody could learn that after the fact.
Right. Showing homes is nice, but who are you showing them to,
right? Exactly.
That's it. So you start off, like you said, it's not going so great. So how did you transition from that going into starting your own brokerage and then just the incredible growth and success you guys had there?
Well, we got to add in the key element to all of that, and that is when I met my wife. So I met her at Keller Williams, and it was her first day, and she couldn't stand me. You know, I can't blame her, but...
I don't believe that. Chuck.
Yeah, I know. I got really good sales techniques. That's how I won her over.
Clearly. Yes.
I couldn't sell a house, but I could sell myself. So. But so anyway, I met her, and we eventually partnered up. So we were broke together. So it was a match made in heaven. You know.
But at least you guys weren't alone anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go.
Yeah, that cardboard box in the street looked pretty good with us both in it. So, but, you know, all kidding aside, it was tough. It was tough to, you know, be in a relationship, not making money, knowing, and not in a conceited sort of way, but knowing we were better than the people that were successful. And we always say it was a God thing for us, and we left Keller Williams, and I'm not sitting here going the failure was because of Keller Williams, but it was more of a leap of faith where the Lord had put us. And we went to a large independent brokerage here in Arizona, and never forget the first day walking into the office. They had a plaque on the wall of all their top agents of every year. So here's this, you know, chooch out of New York going in there broke and with a girl who I'm trying to impress. And I said, yeah, I'm going to be on that plaque as your top agent, you know. She should have ran.
Yeah, they look at you and they go, okay.
Yeah, yeah, right. I heard that story
sounds,
before.
That sounds good,
yeah. Yeah, 3,000 agents at the company, too. It's a big company. And sure enough, within 3 years, we were the top agents at the company.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. We were selling about $40 million a year.
What, and what year roughly was that?
That was like 2004.
So that's a quick turnaround and that kind of volume even back in 2004. I mean, that's a big number. That's big number today, but that was a huge number then.
That was just the two of us. And we just stumbled upon starting a team. Teams weren't a big thing back then, mm-hmm. but people just said they wanted to work around us. And our team, that the year we sold 40, our team sold $89 million.
Oh, wow.
So you know, in today's standards, that's you're 139 million.
Yeah, you guys are a mega team for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. That's awesome. That's incredible. So you guys have the team now. The team is selling, you guys are selling, you're making money, things are going good. And then from there, you're going where?
So here we are at this independent brokerage, mm-hmm. and we started to look for our own office space for our team.
Okay.
And you, I don't actually tell this part of the story too often. We usually glaze over it, but I think it's important here to understand because at this point, we're starting to reach a level of success. We're making money. We're realizing, wow, the business opportunities that maybe we should treat this team like an entity and get our own physical space. So at the same time, we were living in one part of town here in Arizona and moved out to out here in Chandler, and it was just being built up. So we wound up moving. And there was nothing out here. So when we were looking for physical space, the owner of the independent brokerage that we were at said to us, why don't you guys open up your own office? And that, you know, I wasn't raised a business guy, and that thought process never crossed my mind. And so we prayed on it and said, is that a direction we want to go? And the doors kept opening up, and sure enough, we bought a franchise of that independent brokerage. You know, not being business people, we didn't really understand what we were signing. You know, coming from New York, we do stuff on a handshake.
Right.
You just trust people.
Yep.
And so in 2005, we opened up the franchise office of this brokerage, just basically with our team of 14 agents. So there was no buildings out here, so we had to have a building built. And in the meantime, we were at an executive suite.
Okay. Yeah. So not your own place in the meantime, but like you said, you took, and one of the keys I heard you say, like you said, doors kept opening and you guys were open to these opportunities. And
yes.
So you're looking, you're growing, and you're thinking that way.
And yeah, we have that entrepreneur spirit.
Right. Right, which is key, I think, to a big part of this story too, because so many times I know we see it where people just get in their own way. And like you said, at least you guys were looking for those opportunities, looking to grow, and stuff kept happening. Even if it sounds like maybe you didn't know, you know, exactly what you were doing with it, you're failing forward sometimes and getting there. So yeah,
that's a good way of putting it. We failed forward a lot,
yeah.
Even growing in the real estate.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the quickest ways to get there. So now you guys have this, you've got this franchise, and then how do you get from that franchise to your own independent brokerage and to where you were at the end?
Yeah, so our first year, you know, we're very relational, me and Angela. And our first year in a temporary space, we grew to 80 agents out of a temporary location. Because we treated the business like a business. We knew now we had a prospect for agents. And it was a constant grind and constant relationship building. And what could we do to come alongside to help agents? So we 80 agents the first year, moved into the new space, 7,000 square feet, and we kept building. But one of the things that we realized quickly was, and I'm sure you know this about us, we're very headstrong. I'm not a coachable person, really, by no means. But what we were doing is we were building something kind of contrary to this, the franchisor. Mm-hmm. And we quickly realized as we were growing, we became their competition.
Interesting.
And it was a very toxic relationship.
Yeah, and that's something that I don't think most people take into account, or that you could probably even foresee, you know, when you're starting out. You don't even know that's going to happen. So that's interesting. So now, okay, you're at the point, you're growing, you're determined, not headstrong, right? You're moving forward, you've got your convictions there. And you guys are growing, and as you said, you're becoming the competition here. So where are you guys going to next with this?
So we started to realize some life lessons in business. So we were about 200 agents, which is still a good-sized brokerage,
yeah.
But we were also hitting the downtime of the market. So now you're looking at around 2007. Mm-hmm. And financially, we were struggling. And we got to a point of, can this brokerage sustain itself? But, you know, we always know God's got a plan, and it made us open our eyes to the opportunities of not being a franchise. And that was kind of our saving grace to move forward. But we also signed, I know this is, people out here are going to think I'm the biggest idiot. We signed a 20-year contract. Yeah, 20 years. Yeah,
wow.
Like I said, we're going back. I had no idea what we would do, and I just trust. I didn't look for anything. It was a 20-year ironclad contract, and this brokerage was making a crap load of money off of me while being my competition.
That's crazy. 20. I mean, man, we can't even nowadays. We don't know what's going to happen next year.
I don't even think it'd still be up. I think I should still be there right now.
You're still holy crap.
Think about it. You just made me think I'd still be in that contract.
That's true, huh? That's true. My goodness. So you got a few years left.
Yeah, yeah.
So a 20-year contract. That's crazy. So you guys are looking this, and yes, for those of us that were there during the financial crisis, the
catastrophe.
Yeah, that was tough going. Something we'd never seen before, mm-hmm. and a lot of people struggling. So you guys are starting to look at these other options now, right?
Yeah.
And
so we were wondering, how do you get out of this contract? And you know, we sought out lawyers because it was a toxic relationship, and there was nothing we could do. And one day, Angela says, "Why don't we just go ask him to let us out?" Mm-hmm. And I laugh because I'm like, There's no reason for them to let us out, and they're making a lot of money. And she says, you know what, I've been praying on it, and God said, just go ask them. And we did. We went to their office, sat down. I just looked at them, and I said, I want out of my contract. And there was like a pause. I was waiting for the laugh. And they said, okay. And we joke around. We liken it to the story in the Bible about Paul when he's in jail. And then God just released the shackles, and he walks right out past the guards. Yeah. So we like scurried out going, all right, is there like cameras somewhere? Are we on like Punked or something?
Let's leave before they figure out what just happened here. Let's go.
Yeah. So that's when we opened the big physical space, 21,000 square feet. And
that's a big building, Chuck.
Yeah. Full bar, yeah. Cafe. And we did it because we know connecting people is a big deal. And we love our company. We really pour into it. And we kept building. And the crossroads that we got, Pete, that I like people to understand is, in this industry, and there's a reason what's going to segue to YEXP, but in this industry, although we're all in this business together, we're really not together. I don't care what anybody tells you. Nobody's really there to help you succeed, because technically you really are each other's competition, yep, for the most part, because you're not aligned in any way. And it goes, the same thing goes with building companies. And there was nobody for me and Angela to look at or to lean on to help us build our brokerage. And we sought out some trainers from some of the big organizations like Mike Ferry and Buffy. But you know what? They couldn't help us because they weren't equipped. Even though we were successful, we weren't huge. We had about maybe 450 agents doing about $600 million.
Yeah, which is a very successful brokerage still at that point. So when you say they weren't equipped to do that, do you think it's because they hadn't done exactly what you were trying to do?
Not only haven't done it, but they don't work with people who have done it. Mm-hmm. And you start to realize there aren't that many people who operate at that level. So who do you go to for advice?
Right.
So we actually went outside of the real estate industry, and it was our first taste of understanding business. It was our first taste of who you surround yourself with matters. And if you want to be successful, I mean hugely successful, you got to look at the people you're associating with, and that goes right down to the brokerages you're at. You know, if their top agents doing $20 million, which is not bad, I'm not saying that's bad, but you want to be a $40 million producer, well, who's going to get you there?
Right.
And what happened in this industry, Pete, is which I've been shouting about for the last 10 years, is companies, and I know I'm going to get slack for this, but companies like Mike Ferry, Tom Ferry, Brian Buffini, any of these coaching companies should not exist, because the brokerage should be taking on building and working and helping the agents develop themselves and training them.
Yeah, and the tough part, and I can talk from experience in working with Chuck, is before we met Chuck and started working with Chuck, it was the exact same thing. It was like you said, we were trying to do something, but there wasn't people out there that had done to the levels that we're trying to get to the things that we're trying to do. So even though the brokerage should be doing it, a lot of them don't know how or aren't right. equipped to do it or can't, you know? And then sometimes it's not that folks even don't want to. There is some that don't want to, but they're even for the ones that do want to, a lot of times they just can't do it.
No.
They don't know how.
There's no roadmap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys went outside of the industry and you guys, so you're growing now. You've reached out for some coaching. You've got some help with this. You guys have a massively successful business at that point, but you're not satisfied with that. And then from there, you guys keep growing this thing and you reach, like you said, over 900 agents doing over $2 billion in volume a year. That's incredible. That's yeah. incredible. So the thing I want to ask you about, Chuck, with this is that's the goal, I would say, for a lot of people, a lot of folks that we've talked to. You've got team leaders at a certain size that are looking to start their own brokerage, or you've got smaller broker owners that are looking to build this thing. They're looking to build this independent brand. They're looking to get something started, and they go, you know, this is my ultimate goal. So you got there, right? You got this. Well, we said one of the largest, most successful independent brokerages in the country. And then when you're at the top, and I would say when you're at the absolute height and things are clicking along, you guys decide to make a move.
Yeah, I know. It was not an easy decision. A lot of sleepless nights. I'd wake up with panic attacks, and that's not my personality. But what happened was we got to a point that are we going to practice what we preach? Either you're growing or you're moving backwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many nuances that people have to understand how to take place. One is get rid of my pride and ego that I was the owner of the company, that I did build it. But what always supersedes everything, and this is a challenge for anybody out there, look, if you want to be successful, you have to start with your why and your purpose. And I know that's cliche, and there's a lot of things that are cliche that I don't do, you know, like to-do lists and plan out for the year. I'm just a visionary, but I do really believe in your why and your purpose, because that is I always say, your North Star. Because you can't focus on your life and be successful if you don't know the direction that at least you're pointing in. Mm-hmm. And one of our big North Stars is to be a servant leader. You know, God's blessed us with what we have, and how could we bless more people? And if this is about doing God's work, then I have to take that leap of faith, because the playing field EXP now provides for us is now to reach agents not only all over the country, but all over the world. And so making a decision when you're at your height is the hardest thing ever to do, but yet it's a necessity, because making decisions when you're failing or you're in trouble is the worst time to make decisions.
Yeah, when you're forced to.
Yeah.
When you're forced to. So I like what you touched on there with the growth and always looking to move forward. So you've got this growth mindset, and you know, you're looking at bigger things. And so, you know, for a lot of people, like I said, where that's their goal and you're doing this. So did you feel like at that point with it, you can only get so far as an independent, or you just saw this opportunity with EXP could be so much more? Or what exactly, when your thought process is going there, and obviously the opportunity that you've got now that we'll touch on in a moment, yeah. But when you're in that decision-making process, what was going through your mind as far as, hey, I can keep going with this, or I see this opportunity here that we're going to jump on, but what was the difference in your mind that kind of led you down that road?
That's a good question, Pete, because it's not, could I have gone any further on my own? There are definitely limits that you're capable of doing, you know, unless I start opening up offices throughout the country and maybe franchise. I mean, there's definitely things you could do, but I guess the point we got is you have to, I didn't want to be naive, because I see this industry at a level most never see. And too many things are changing, not only in the industry, but it's the world we live in. And if anybody doesn't notice that, then they're walking around with their eyes closed. Every industry is radically changing, and yet the industry I'm in has never changed. And it's the same archaic model. You know, some people could say, well, now you got the flat fee brokerages and you got this, but it's still the same archaic model. And what I mean by that is agents are only as good as their last sale, number one. Number two is people are not pouring into each other. They're not really sharing everything and joining hands and coming alongside. And then you're looking at these big tech companies with the hedge fund money. Look, I got a successful brokerage, but what is that going to look like a year, 2 years down the road? Right. You know, the bigger players are getting bigger. And I can't keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, that competition is like you said, the industry is definitely changing. And, you know, we continue to see, like Chuck was saying, that those bigger players coming in, that consolidation that's going on here. So before even that, though, Chuck, so you've got that. And now you have the experience of being both a franchise owner and then going independent. So we've got listeners out there right now looking at their different options, thinking about, I'm ready to go to the next level. I'm ready to start building something like this. What's your opinion here between those? What's the differences? Which one was the better option? And we've got, for the folks thinking about it out here, which is the better way to go when you're looking at that decision?
Yeah, and that's always great to have the spirit of growth and building. And like I said, where if you play under the typical model of, which I did, was, all right, I go from being a failure in the business to being a top producing agent to running a top team. Oh, the next logical thing is running a brokerage. Mm-hmm. Then do you decide to go franchise independent? Well, I went franchise because, you know, I always joke around. It's like McDonald's. You get a franchise, you get the fries and the buns. And
the
I always,
formula should
yeah,
be there,
the
right?
formula should be there. But typically, the formula is there for most part. But one of the things that I quickly realized with a franchise is you as an entrepreneur, most entrepreneurs, I know especially for me, you're a thinker. You don't, once you start to get rolling, you don't want to conform to what they're doing. And so although now, here's the funny thing, although you say you own your own business, do you really own your own business? Because you're under someone else's umbrella dictating to you how to make your burgers.
Right, you're doing it their way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. That's Burger King. So, so that's the part with the franchise, and you become handcuffed. And I talk to a lot of franchise owners out there right now that want to move to EXP, and they go, "We're handcuffed. We're like in jail," yeah. And they got to wait for their jail sentence to be up. So the question is, it might sound good today, but mark my words, if you're a builder, down the road, you might regret being in that franchise. So then you go, okay, I'm going to go independent. Well, now you're going to have your own set of problems because now you're doing it on your own. You got to create everything, get your own systems. You know, I could help people build an independent brokerage, but just like myself, at some point you're going to go, okay, wait a minute. You cannot be naive or blind to the EXP model because it solves the problem. If EXP did not exist, I'd still have my independent brokerage.
Yeah. So you believe there was nowhere else you could have gone or looked to do. You would have stayed with the independent brokerage if it wasn't for EXP.
Absolutely. I don't know if I said it to you, Pete. I know I've talked to a lot of teams because I've coached and mentored a lot of them throughout my career before EXP really was even on the radar. And my wife could tell you, it's almost like I spoke prophecy into what we're doing because I would say to team leaders, once I started to understand the business really well, mm-hmm. that if I ever had to do it all over again, I would never own a brokerage. That I would build the biggest team under someone else's umbrella and that I'd always finish it up with, but there's no umbrella to do it at.
Yeah. There's no one at the level that you were trying to do that had the pieces in place
to support that what you're doing right now
to make it happen. And that's why I think it was so important to hear it from another perspective with you today, because we get asked that question. You know, if we're being honest about it, other than, you know, once we get to the big players and the big franchises out there, our team is bigger than a lot of the smaller brokerages, a lot of the independent brokerages.
Bigger than most brokerages. Not smaller ones.
Right. And so they'll ask, well, how come you're not starting a brokerage? And we look at it, and it's like you said, share with us what's going on at eXp. What are you doing now? You came from having, you know, the independent brokerage where you're growing like crazy. You've got this thing that you've built, which, you know, guys out there, for if we haven't mentioned before, that's where we came from. That's where we met Chuck, was this incredible brokerage that we were at. But eXp has taken everything to the next level. So what has been the big difference? What does your business look like now? What are you guys doing now? How does that compare to the Indian brokerage and what you're building, your business that you're building today?
So the one word I always use, just to really simplify, what is the difference between eXp Realty and every other brokerage out there? The word is called opportunities. Opportunities you get at eXp that you can't get anywhere else. And they come in multiple forms. They come in stock. So just by doing what you're doing, you're going to get stock in the company you're working at. I actually just seen a post today go, well, I'm a KW and I just buy stock at eXp. Well, look, I don't want to be a jerk, but isn't that a little stupid? It's like I own a Burger King, but I'm going to go buy stock in McDonald's. Right. I mean, it just doesn't even, anyway, I don't even want to go there. but you got the opportunities of stock. You got the opportunities of growth through collaboration, through tiered partnership, where people have a monetary interest to make sure you're successful. Look, your own broker owner doesn't even do that for you. And then obviously revenue share if you want it, and then partnering up with the biggest and brightest from all over the country. That's what we're doing. Yeah. The all other cool the world, thing yeah. is, and I know I'm sharing what Glenn, the founder, says, is look, we're competing against the information society, the Zillows, the tech companies. You know what? Agents, take back the industry. eXp Realty, in all purposes, is a brokerage for the realtors. The realtors are the owners. And that's what they have to compete with. And we're going to have our own MLS system. I'm excited because I really believe one day we're going to have a one-world MLS system, and it's going to be done through eXp Realty.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah, and we see, and that's what I was saying. I mean, this is all over the world. And so, and I think the other thing for people to remember out there is eXp, it's not like, for those that aren't super familiar with it, it's not franchises all around the country like these other brokerages. This is one brokerage, one ownership owned by the agents everywhere. And it's just like you said, this is the first time where everybody's pulling in the same direction. And the brokerage that you're at actually has the resources and the tools and the things in place to actually help you with your business. So, you know, we were on a call with somebody the other day, and they were asking us about how are you building your team and how are you doing this? And I know, Chuck, you see this every day. And I said, well, we've got a broker that has these pieces built in for us. I don't have to reinvent them.
Right.
I don't have to recreate them. And it gives me a huge advantage over people at other brokerages, because everyone that comes and works alongside us and gets to take advantage of these. And for us as team leaders, independent brokers out there that have come over, you've got all of these built-in pieces with the revenue share, with the stock purchase and the stock options that these folks can get. And it's changing lives.
Group health insurance.
I mean, we could go on for a long time, but it's truly changing lives. We're not only seeing it here, you know, with our agents that are getting opportunities that they wouldn't have had before. Just even if they're not looking to do certain things, just selling their real estate and then having, you know, like you said, like you put it perfectly, the options. They can sell real estate anywhere, but this is the only place where they can have these other options. So,
yeah, and I'm meeting agents from all over the country. I am forming relationships that I've never would have formed before. And we're feeling this, and I know, Pete, you're feeling this too. We're feeling this giant bond, this giant culture of connectivity, of literally pulling in the same direction.
Yep.
It's mind blowing, and a lot of people don't see that part of it until they get in. That's like the icing on the cake.
It's hard to explain because, mm-hmm. like you said, you don't experience it anywhere else. Because even though you have people that are helping or collaborating in other areas, it's not anywhere near the level that you have at EXP. Because at EXP, you are truly all in the same boat and all pulling the same way, and it's incredible to see. So, you know, before we end it here, I want to touch on one last thing, and that's Chuck, you and Angela. You know, what you talked about before with the leadership, you've got to lead by example. You're the servant leaders. And I know you guys mean what you say. We see it every day. And you guys are out here working with just agents, like you said, team leaders, broker owners all around the country. Let's leave the listeners with one last thing. What do you see? What are you hearing most as far as the biggest challenge that they're having when they're trying to build this business? Or what are you seeing, I guess, is another way to put it, with the folks that are having that success that you're working with, that they're coming to EXP, whether you're helping them build their downlines, they're building their team there, you know, reaching across states, or for some of them across countries at this point, and building this business. What are some of the keys that you're seeing for some of these folks that you're working with that are having that success?
The main key to any success, obviously, is working. You know, you could be handed the best tools and systems, but if you don't apply them, it means nothing. So the people that are having the massive success are the ones that truly are plugged in to being around these big thinkers and these masterminds and these groups that we have all the time. Like, I have these mastermind groups, so does Angela. And if you're not plugged into it, you're going to miss out. The key is, in anything, you need to constantly being fed. You know, we as human beings gravitate towards being lazy, lazy-minded, especially this world we live in. It's information overload. It consumes your mind. You got to clear your mind to what's important. And the only way you could do that is by focusing on and being around those type of people. Being around very successful people all the time, I guarantee you'll do nothing but be successful. It's just going to happen. So I always challenge people, who are you listening to? Who are you watching? Who are you engaging with? If you're constantly engaging with the garbage out there and the victim mentality and the complainers and the whiners and the naysayers, guess what? You're going to be one of them. So be around the bigger thinkers. Be around the positive, the ones who are doing it. I always say, don't take advice from someone that hasn't been to where you want to go. Yep. So that's what I'll leave it off. You know what? We have a great culture. That is what EXP Realty is. It's just a platform that has got the culture that's part of it, where people are coming in, they got their own brands, their own entity, but we're all using the same platform through the tiered partnership in building.
That's a great way to put it there. That's a great way. The platform where everybody's coming together. And Chuck, just like you've always said in the past, you know, it's all about the right people, being around people that are doing it and still grinding and having that success and know how to help you get there and are willing to help you get there. Because as we've got up around here, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? You're not going to get any better unless you're around those people.
That's right.
That's awesome, Chuck. Well, hey, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This has been incredible. Guys, like you said, this is someone that went from owning one of the most successful single office brokerages in the country to completely changing things, going over, taking this massive opportunity with EXP, and is now going and building something even bigger. So, Chuck, if people want to hear more from you, follow you, where can they go?
Yeah, just to quickly touch when people say to build bigger. So it took me 15 years to build 906 agents, where now I have the modern day team, is what I call it, at right about 4,000 agents, grown by 400 agents a month. That's leverage. Right. So, hey, people want to reach out to me. First of all, you can check out my our webpage to see who we are by going to the iconic powercouple.com. Or you can check out our podcast. We do the Massive Real Estate Rebuild, which talks about our journey going from a large independent brokerage and our journey through EXP, the good, the bad, the ugly, and all the positives in between. That's Tuesday nights. And midweek Mind Freak, get your mindset, because the battle starts here. So just go to our Facebook page at The Iconic Power Couple, and you'll find all of that.
That's awesome. Thank you, Chuck. And guys, 4,000 agents. I mean, that's incredible. So if you guys want to hear how Chuck and Angela are doing this, listen in to what they're putting out there. Like I said, obviously still having that massive, and actually having more massive success at this point. So check that stuff out. Please go ahead and subscribe to our podcast. You can go to kppodcast.com. Subscribe there, or Apple iTunes, Spotify, any of the platforms there. Follow us on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. It's all The KP Elite. And if you guys have any questions for the next show, go ahead and email us questions@kpeliteaz.com, and we'll answer them on the next show. Chuck, thank you again for being here today. Appreciate it very much, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.